confess Yeshua as Lord and believe in your heart of his resurrection, you will be saved.
Teach us, Lord, to become your watchmen. Teach us, Lord, to be not afraid. Show us, Lord, to be bold and tell them. Teach us, Lord, to be not.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Let's hear it like it's 20 more of you. Shabbat Shalom, 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalominess. Shabbat Shalom in the home. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have the lovely Miss Dawn with us today. Hey. Hallelujah. Welcome, Miss Dawn. Good to have you with us. And there's Mr. Jacob Toller. How you doing, Jacob? Shabbat Shalom.
Check.
Nice to see you. And there's Ron. He's always in tune.
He's tuning it up.
He's always in tune. And then there's Earl sitting back there quietly. Earl the Pearl. All right. Ready, Miss Dawn?
I am ready. Right. I'm ready.
And there's Terry in the corner.
All right, a little piano, please, up in the monitor. hearing a change. I know. Just a little more up. Rejoice and be glad in it, and let us come and bless the Messiah, who is our Savior, and He's the one who brings us life. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Et Derech HaYeshua B'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell,
in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O God, be at the right time,
in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru on page 45, also on the screen. Visham Ruvene Yisrael Le'et HaShabbat Lasod Et HaShabbat Le'dorotam Barit Olam Visham Ruvene Yisrael Et HaShabbat Lasod Et HaShabbat Le'dorotam Barit Olam B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'yaharetz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shvili shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Bring the guitar up just a little bit.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her.
We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper, your word says, Lord. And we love Jerusalem. Don and I have been there 15, I think I've been there 17 times. And we love your holy city, Lord. We love the place, Zechariah 8 says, will be your dwelling place one day when you return. When you return, set foot on the Mount of Olives, you will dwell in Jerusalem. And we look forward to that day. And I for the people who've never been there, I wish I could share that experience of being in the holy city with them, Lord, and bring them to Jerusalem. Lord, I pray for the salvation of our people there, of the Jewish people. Lord, we pray for their salvation and for the Arab peoples and the other you know, residents that live there who don't know you, Ethiopians and many others, Lord, that don't know the Lord, the Druze and so forth. So we pray for their salvation, that they would come to know you, that you would, this is the time to favor Zion. Psalm 102 says, the set time has come to favor Zion. Open their eyes, Lord, that they might see. Lord, I pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu that he would receive justice. I pray that he would receive justice and that truth would come out and that your will would be done, and that if he's being charged politically, that it would be exposed, and same thing for our president, that all these charges they're leveling at him, if it's political, that it would be exposed. If it has something to do with the presidency, whatever, that justice would be done, true justice, that your justice and your truth would come forth, Lord, and that liars would be exposed, schemes and plots to bring men down and to replace them with globalists would be exposed, and that those who are committing crimes against treason against our country would be brought to nothing, and they would be punished, that they would be put in jail, that the true criminals, the ones who really did deal with Russia, that they would be put in jail. Uranium One and all those Uranium One and collusion and all that stuff, the real ones who colluded with the Russians and did business with them would go to jail, Lord. You know who they are. And I'm sick and tired, and I believe many of us are sick and tired of hearing the baloney against you know, the false charges. 2 years they've been investigating. And let's get on with the business of governing the United States. A nation divided, you said, Lord, a nation divided against itself will not stand.
Amen, Rabbi.
A nation divided against itself will not stand. Amen. And if they keep fighting them, if we keep fighting ourselves, our nation will not stand. We will fall. And that's what I believe many of them want to happen. They want us to fall. And they're going to get their wish one day. It will come to pass. But thank you, Lord. Bless our president. Strengthen him. Lift his arms. Bless his family. Bless his children. Bless his wife. Bless his staff. Help them to lead us in righteousness. Bless our messianic community, Lord. Bless our leaders with the spirit of Eliakim. Remove the spirit of Shebna. Take out those who are in it for greed and have power, in it for power and greed and self, you know, for selfish reasons. Give us leaders, Lord, and who have your heart and your desire, your will, and kindness, the fruit of the spirit. Lord, I pray, give us the spirit of Eliakim among our leaders. Bless the rabbis today, Lord. Give them boldness. Give them your word. Give them healing. Give them anointing. And feed the sheep today, Lord. And the rabbi friend who I talked to down south who's struggling, Lord, I just pray that you give him wisdom and his wife, that you help them, and that you would give them an answer quickly, Lord. They need to make a decision very quickly. I pray that you would give them an answer very quickly and help that couple, Lord. In Yeshua's name, Lord, send them help, give them the answer, and thank you that they came to us for support and for encouragement. Help us to be an encouragement. Show us, give me wisdom to give him an answer, Lord, to help him, Lord. Give me wisdom, and Don too. We pray for Wendell and Maria, Lord. We just thank you that Wendell is okay. We pray, Lord, your word says we will drink poison and vipers will bite us, but it will not harm us. And we just thank you that he's not harmed in Yeshua's name, that it was an attack. And we just pray, Lord, for the salvation of our Jewish friends and family, that you would open their eyes. And I pray particularly for the strength of my sister. She's got a big task right now, and she's not well. She has a huge task upon her right now. I pray for my sister Barbara, for her strength and her salvation. I pray that you just uphold her and help her to handle all the work she's got right now on her plate. I pray also for that things go peacefully in my family right now, that there's peace amongst family, and that you just pray for the salvation of our people, Lord. Open our eyes like you opened mine, Lord. You brought me to you. Bring them to you. In Yeshua's name, and all of our lost family, we pray for their salvation. Yes. All of our lost family members, everyone here and everyone who's not here, everyone watching, God bless you if you're watching online today. May your family be saved. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He
will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Gracious, O Lord our God, to your people Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel.
Asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, b'shinata ham levanecha, b'dibarta baham, b'shivtecha b'veitecha, uvelechtecha v'aderech, uveshachbecha, uvekumecha, uchesharta ham, liot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot b'neinecha, uchetavta ham, al mezuzot b'veitecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask William and Ron if you would prepare to carry the Torah. And what's next, Dawn? Mi Kamocha?
Yes.
Okay. Anthony, if you would open the ark for them, please. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Vaya hiben soharom vaya memushe kurna adonai yafutsu oivecha vianusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udavar adonai miyerushalayim baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Torah, Udmo Yisrael, Bikdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord,
and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah Baruch et Adonai Hamvora
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Yolam Va'ed
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Yolam Va'ed
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Asher bakar banu mikol hamim Ve'natan lanu et torto Baruch atah Adonai Notein ha'torah
Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Please be seated.
You can be seated. Today's Torah portion is by a Kahel, and it is from Exodus chapter 35 through chapter 38. Kahel is actually the root word that means to assemble or put a group together. You know, and that's what God is telling Moses to do today. He has assembled all the Israelites, just the Israelites. You know, before when they left Egypt, we found that we read in the scripture that it was a mixed company. But today, this meeting that Moses is having at the command of the Lord is for just the Israelites. And in that, the main topic that I found in reading that this week was that Moses is addressing the Shabbat, which is what we're here today to observe, and that no work was to be done on the day of rest. It's a day of rest, and if you read some of the scriptures, you'll see where on the Shabbat, people who were found working were put to death. They were stoned to death. So God meant business when he said there's no work to be done on the Shabbat, because if you did, it was a death sentence. You know, God told them to work 6 days and do all you can the 6 days, but on the Shabbat or the seventh day, you are to rest. And on the Hebrew calendar, of course, the Shabbat is the only day on the calendar that doesn't is not a number reference. All the others are numbers, but the Shabbat has its own name. The Shabbat actually started with God at creation. That was the first Shabbat that was observed when God made the heavens and the earth, and he made the Garden of Eden. He put man and woman in there and all the animals. It was the Shabbat that God entered into after the 6 day. So the Shabbat is to be separated from all the other days of the week. And when you separate it as God has instructed us, it is a day that is to remain holy unto God. And the people, you know, if you read the Torah portion today, you'll find out that they were in the process of getting all the stuff together to build the tabernacle. And so God is asking Moses to tell the people to bring the various things that came out of Egypt to build the tabernacle. And so it was built under very harsh conditions. They were living in the desert, and they didn't have the craftsmen that were going to be needed to make the things to go into the tabernacle. But Moses tells them to bring the materials, and they brought them all within one day. And God wanted them to give the things. He never put a requirement about how much they had to bring. He left that up to them and within their heart to decide how much that they was going to bring. But they brought the things for the tabernacle. They were given with great enthusiasm and joy because they was building the house of God, a house that God will once again inhabit upon the earth. And so the people, they gave and they continued to give. But, you know, but God gave two people that are mentioned in the scriptures in verse 22 and 23. They were two craftsmen that God gave extraordinary abilities to do things. And one of them was Bezalel, who was from the tribe of Judah. And he was like the chief architect. He was the chief craftsman who would lead and train and guide the other people. And then we have Oholiab, who was from the tribe of Dan. And what's interesting, you have a member from the largest tribe, which was Judah, and a member from the smallest tribe, which was Dan. So God is telling us that it was from the largest to the smallest that would contribute help to build the tabernacle. So it was the least individual to the greatest individual that God would use to build that tabernacle. And God gave him instructions on how to build the tabernacle, how each thing, each vessel that went into the tabernacle was given in great detail about how it was constructed. Of course, Moses had seen all this in heaven, the temple that was in heaven, so he had a visual a reference of what God was wanting, but God guided him. And really, when you look at the tabernacle, it was just a tent that traveled around. It was a portable tent that could be taken down and put up. And one of the last thing I just wanted to mention today was the cloth that was used to go into the tabernacle. Each one of them had a specific reference that I studied this week. The scarlet or the red was to remind us of the fire that we need to have inside of us for a heavenly God. The turquoise was the color of the sky that was used, and that was to remind us of the majesty of the Heavenly Father. And the purple, which is a blend of red and blue, was to remind us and to share with us the love and the awe that God has even for us. And the white, which was the linen that they used, that was to remind us and explain to us God's love for us that is above all of our rationality. It's impossible, I think, to understand the love of God when He would send His Son to die for sinners like me, that He could still love you after He gives up His Son. But that's what the linen represents. It's the love of God that is above our understanding and rationale. Shabbat Shalom.
Say Shabbat Shalom to everybody again. It's good to end Shabbat Shalom to folks watching online. We want to welcome you. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, Ar Yehuda in Hebrew, and we're also for Zion's Sake Ministries. We are your local Israel connection for the Mountain Empire, the Tri-Cities, and perhaps wherever you are. You might be somewhere in Idaho or Utah. You might be in a place or even in New York City where there's no Messianic synagogue to go to, and you might be watching us as you have no place to go and worship. So we welcome you and just want to let you know that you're welcome to join us wherever you're at, okay? Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. And so...
Praise the Lord. had a little technical difficulty downstairs, so we're just going to skip to announcements now. But it's great to be here with you all, and we've been having tons of rain, and it seems like it's never going to end. And last week we had our hopes so high for getting it back into the fellowship hall, and then it rained so hard that the water came up through the foundation, probably in a different spot from where we had. It was coming from all sides, and it was even up in the foundation of this main building. The building we've been repairing is the building next door, which is not as high up off the ground, but there was water starting to get up in the foundation of this main building as well. And so thank God it didn't get up into any of our finished spaces. It was down below the foundation. But that being said, we were supposed to have fellowship dinner in the new everything fixed up, and now we're back to square one again. And it's very disappointing. It was very hard news last week and disappointing to have to call the restoration company again to come and get the water. And so now we have yet to decide exactly what we're going to do with the fellowship hall now, but it's clear that the carpet is probably gone again and the walls, so we're going to have to deal with all that. So please pray for our building fund, because we spent already. We have no insurance because they won't. The FEMA won't insure that building, and neither will Nationwide. So we've spent $10,000, and now we have to go back at it again. Right, they don't cover floods. So praise the Lord. Right. So, anyway, we're marching forward, and Rabbi had the news come out, and they did a little piece on WCYB, so you can go over, I think it's on Facebook. Joe saved it to the Facebook if you want to see how the news covered it. So that was kind of nice, but that they came out and featured our ministry. But like I said, continue to keep us in your prayers, and we appreciate all the support and any gifts towards the building fund or to the operation of our ministry, because we are the local connection to Israel. And if you don't have a synagogue here, you have no representation to Israel by the believing community. And this is your connection. There is no other in this area. And any other ministry that says that they're connected to Israel, but they are not connected with us, it's not real. So you want to support the real work that's connected to Israel, this is it, in our area. And praise the Lord. Just a couple things about events coming up. And of course, as the new year rolls around, we're always thinking about Purim and Passover. We still have not nailed down a Purim service yet, if that's going to happen or not, so please stay tuned, please be patient with us. Oh, we did do that? Okay. It's a Friday night, probably. Okay, so Friday night, March 22nd, we are, as Rabbi says, we're going to have a service here, a special service Friday night, so please come out and bring your friends. Let's support this feast, which is really prophetic of the salvation of Israel, and there's many messages and words that God has to speak to us through Purim, especially for the end times. So do not miss Purim. It's not just a wonderful story. It's a prophetic word to the people of God. And we need to remind ourselves of his prophetic word every year. And it's always a little different. What God says to us in these feasts are a little different. His word this year may be a little different from what it was last year. It's not always the same thing, but it's the same themes. And God is always speaking to us about how we should come to him and how we what's going to happen for the future. He's giving us guidance. So come to Purim, and then there's Passover. We'll be sending out all these dates on email, and it'll be on our website. Check out our new webpage at forzionsake.org. It's a fresh new look, and we're updating the content as we go along every week. So just be patient as we get that up and going, but it is great. I'm just excited about it. So many more options and great ways to communicate with you guys on that website. But all our events are going to be posted there, and we'll be able to purchase tickets probably next week for Passover. Passover is, the 20th of April. That's a Saturday night. It's going to be at New Life Baptist Church starting at 6 o'clock. And tickets are going to be $30 for adults and I forget the children, but we'll have that. It's going to be on the website. Like I said, next week it'll be live, and you'll be able to purchase tickets. Or it's not tickets, registration. You'll be able to register. Okay, so that's going to be a wonderful meal, as you know, and Rabbi's going to teach on the Passover, and we'll have a beautiful program and honor the Lord. And we're going to be taking an offering to benefit a new work that we've been associated with. It's not new, but it's going to be new to us, and it's called Special in Uniform. So we'll be having more information on the website about that and all the communication that's going out. You'll see what the offering is going to. It's an awesome thing that we're excited about. Raising money for. Yes, Rabbi's going to talk about Special in Uniform.
I just want to. Don and I were in Israel 2 years ago, and we had some opportunities to go. We had an opportunity to go to the Knesset and meet some members of Knesset and meet an ambassador. Gave us a tour of the Knesset, and they are aware of the work we've done with the Joseph Project. So they asked us if we'd like to go to something special, which as if the Knesset wasn't special enough. So the next day we were picked up by an Air Force colonel, and he drove an hour and a half in the morning in rush hour traffic to pick us up at our hotel. And then he drove us to an Air Force base, and we don't know where it was. He didn't tell us, and he intentionally went north and south and west and east, and then he went to the base. So we were lost. Our heads were spinning. It was like being in Unicoi or Limestone. You know, we're just driving down these country roads, and all of a sudden we pulled up to these barriers, and these Israeli female soldiers with machine guns were standing there with bulletproof barriers and guard stands, guard posts. And there were about one here and one there, one there and one there. There were about five or six of them, and we had to drive through each one. And since we'd gone to the Knesset, we had given our passports a couple of days before we went to the Knesset, and they checked Don and I out. They knew, knew everything about us. And so we got there, went to the Knesset. And so when we went to the military base, the colonel just gave his biometric, it was a card or his hand or whatever. They scanned him, and they just let us through. They didn't even ask who we were. They knew who we were. They already knew who we were, and they let us through. And the reason I'm telling you this is so we get to the Air Force base, and they took us to these buildings, and there were these kids with autism and with Down syndrome. And they were 17, 18, 19 years old. And they were not too sick to work, to be in the military. But they were taking the precious metals out of computers, silver and gold. And they were throwing out electronic equipment. They were saving the precious metals and throwing out the equipment. Can somebody help Aja back there, please? And Xavier's helping her, but he's got her. And so they were taking the medals out. They're also putting, what do you call them, gas masks in bags. They were doing tasks that the soldiers didn't have time to do. And this is a wonderful thing. It's called Special in Uniform. And nobody knows about it because it's on 10 IDF bases. And it gives these young people a chance to serve their country, to feel important, to wear a uniform, to go to a base, to have lunch, to work, to have camaraderie, to feel as though they're serving their nation, their country, their people. Some of them actually get to meet the prime minister. They get a ceremony with jets flying over and parade and everything when they graduate the program, and they get paid to do it. And it just is such. We saw they came and they hugged Dawn. They just started hugging on her, and I have pictures of it, of them just surrounding her. And I took the pictures and they hugged her.
They're actually on Facebook. I found all of them. There's two video clips on the For Zion's Sake Facebook page.
Okay.
So if you'll scroll down to 2017, sort of to the bottom, I've got to figure out how to title them a little better, but there's two clips there of us at the base with the kids.
Okay. And there's also, if you just go into photos and scroll down, you'll see them in photos. But anyway, on Facebook. But so it's an incredible ministry that they're doing for these kids. But nobody knows about it because it's on hidden bases. You can't just go there. You have to have somebody bring you to the base. You have to have an officer, like a captain or a major or a colonel, bring you to the base and bring you on the base. And I have been to one base before that in Megiddo many years ago. I was in Megiddo at the Air Force base with an Air Force major was hosting my tour. And he took us to the IDF base. I was never able to go back since. We always requested it when we went to Israel to go to a base, and they never let us go again until 2 years ago. And we learned of this ministry, Special in Uniform. So we're going to take the offering at Passover for that ministry, and I'll be showing pictures of it that night. And it's a wonderful ministry to these young people, these Israeli kids who have autism and Down syndrome and other things. So anyway, I just wanted to step in and mention that.
That's great. So we'll be featuring that. There'll be more information about that that work, and it'll be coming up. And also, there'll be information about how you can support the event. We're going to be offering sponsorships, as we usually do, to underwrite the event. It always costs more than the tickets. And ticket price is $30, and that's really just going to cover the basics. And so we're asking for people to back us and to get behind this event, this benefit to Israel, to help us promote it and to bring it to the community. And if that's on your heart, and this is one way you can support Israel here in the Tri-Cities, is by supporting this event and then by also giving to the benefit to this this ministry in Israel. And the money, all the funds that are raised during this Passover will be going directly to Israel. And so that's Passover in a nutshell. And so I one other event that's coming up is Joshua Bell, sitting back in the back there, is preparing for his bar mitzvah, and I'm asking for people to pray for him. He's learning his Torah portion, and we'll be practicing it again today, but he's preparing himself, and we're planning for a bar mitzvah on Shavuot, so it'll be the end of May, and so if you'll be praying for that, we'll probably bring somebody special in, maybe Ted Pierce or something like that. We'll see what God provides, and we'll have a celebration. Yes, Bill. Yeah, thank you, Bill. That is a prayer request. Vicki, our secretary administrator, who's helping with all these the events and stuff, that has been a great help to us. She's fell and hurt her knee last week, and then this week Dave ended up in the hospital. He had a food poisoning. And so it was pretty dicey there. They, you know, ER's
ICU for a night.
Yeah, he was in ICU, and they really had difficulty getting him stabilized. So please be in prayer for Dave Peters and Vicki and their family. And thank you, Bill. We'll send that around, I'm sure. And Dave's birthday, is that it? Is Elijah's birthday. That's right. He's turning 11. Thank you, little Elijah. I was going through some of those videos, Rabbi, and speaking of Elijah, and you guys can go on the Facebook, and there's a clip of our kids singing Dayenu. I can't remember what year it was, but it's 14 or 15. And little Elijah, he's 11 years old, but he was like 2. And he's front and center and just singing his heart out. So go to that Passover clip. I'm going to kind of collage them. Maybe we can put it on the website a little bit. But he was part of that Passover, and just so sweet. So praise the Lord. Pray for the Peters. Amen. And back to you.
Amen. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that Wendell's okay, and we pray that Maria's watching him. We pray that he continues to be okay, and we just thank you, Lord, that we stand on the word that says we will drink poison and it will not harm us. Vipers will bite us, and we will not be harmed by it. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We stand on that word for Wendell, who went to a McDonald's today and drank mocha, and they left the cleaning solution attached to the machine, and it got into his coffee. He took a drink, and it burned his mouth and his throat. He had to go to the clinic or whatever. Anyway, so we just thank you, Lord, that he's okay. And, Lord, we just pray for this offering. Lord, bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold. Thank you, Lord, that you provide for all the needs of this ministry. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor through Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our fortress, our strong tower, our rock, and our deliverer. Hallelujah. And in his name we pray. And don't forget the spare change basket for the poor. If you have spare change in your pocket and you want to give some, we help folks with in Israel. We help folks here. Sometimes they come with needs like electric bills or water bills or rent things, all kinds of things. They come food. They just knock on our door, and we try to help as much as we can. So if you have some spare change, put it in that basket there. And God bless you as you give. Shabbat shalom.
Ever.
you. There is a purpose. And sometimes that's such a beautiful song. It's right out of scripture, but it's been a popular rock song since what 60s, year, Dad?
Probably 1967, I'd say.
And but it's right out of the Bible, and it's so true that life brings us different things, and God brings us through different seasons, and we have to just follow Him, right? Through those seasons. So sometimes He's breaking things down, and we don't know why, but He's breaking it down so that He can build us up even stronger. So let's bless Him. He is our salvation, and we have hope in Him, regardless of our situation. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord our God.
La, 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 la.
Yanenu, Shem Koshia, Melech Yanenu.
Be heard, and you shall have a song in the night. All the angels and
to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai from the rising of the sun to the end of every day.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is here. And we welcome you, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh. Welcome to this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Anna and Dawn if you would come and serve today. We're going to go to the Lord's table. If you're watching at home and you'd like to join us at communion, the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord, if you have some grape juice or some fruit of the vine that you have available, and you want to get some, we're going to go to the Lord's table at this time, so you can join us at home. Hallelujah. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the dead on the third day. Amen. It was Passover night when Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He took the bread, which is also taken after the meal, and you can read about it in Luke 22, and it's taken at every Passover meal in the world, called the afikomen, or in Greek it's the afikomen, and it means that which comes later. And he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body given for you." Some versions say broken for you. And he gave it to his disciples. And by this he was showing them, this is what I'm going to do for you. My body's going to be broken for you. My blood's going to be shed for you. I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross tomorrow. And on Passover, I'm going to go to the cross for you. And I'm going to take your sins and your sickness, your shame and all the foul things of the world I'm going to put upon me, and all the unclean things I'm going to put upon me, and I'm going to bear it all for you and for the whole world. And anyone who claims the victory that I win, anyone who claims that victory through Yeshua, through Jesus Christ, will be saved. And all you have to do is believe. The work of God is to believe in the one he sent. And what do you have to believe? You have to believe that he's the Son of God. You have to believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead. And he was buried 3 days and three nights and rose from the dead on the third day. If you believe that and you've received forgiveness of your sins, then we invite you to come to the Lord's table. If you don't believe that, then and you'd like to meet the Messiah today, just raise your hand and I will introduce you to the Messiah. Even if you're at home, just raise your hand right where you're sitting. If you're in your car, just raise your hand. One hand, hold the steering wheel, and raise your hand with the other, and pray with me. Dear God, I believe in Yeshua. I sense his presence today. I sense your holiness today. I don't understand it, but I want it. I need you, Lord. I've broken your laws. I've made mistakes. I have not kept all your commandments every day, or even any day. 613 positive and negative commandments every day. I have not kept them, Lord. I confess I've broken your law, and that perfection is your standard. If I'm going to go to heaven, I need to be perfect. But I'll never be perfect. But you are perfect. And so your perfection is imputed to me. Your perfection, your righteousness is placed upon me so that I can go to heaven, so that I can have eternal life. So place that righteousness on me. Place that holiness on me. And forgive my sins. And write my name in your book of life forever, that I may spend eternity with you in paradise and with all who know you. In Yeshua's name, Lord, save me today. Amen. Folks, prepare your hearts. If you have sins, I always say keep a short list. Confess your sins before God and come as you're ready. Ladies, I turn it to you.
Deeper place, take me through the chamber door, beyond the realm I've known, or things I've seen and heard, to a deeper place. Take me to a deeper place than I've ever known before. Take me to a deeper place. That's what my heart longs for. Take me to a deeper place. As I worship at your throne, take me to a place I've never known before, to a deeper place. Take me through the chamber door. I've seen and heard. Take a deeper place with you, my sovereign Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Test 1, 2. Okay. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. About turning my bass amp off if it's ready to turn off. Is the bass amp ready to turn off? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Pray for the kids. Pray for the message. Father, we just thank you for our kids, Lord. We love them. We bless them with all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Leah, Miriam, and the other Marys, Lord, and all the righteous women, Deborah, all the righteous women of the Scripture, Lord. We bless them. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that they would hear your voice say, "This is the way, walk ye in it," and that they would not depart from it, Lord, that they would learn to hear your voice. We pray, Lord, that they would come to know you in a mighty way, Lord, that they would experience miracles, signs, and wonders, and experience the goodness of God. In their youth, Lord, that they would experience your power, that they can turn to you and pray to you, and that you'll answer them, and that you will help them in all that they put their hands to, whether it be schoolwork, whether it be sports, whatever it is they're doing, Lord, that you'll bless them, and anything that concerns you, Lord, you'll bless them, and bless their future. And we just thank you for the kids. Keep them healthy and strong. Protect them. Help them take care of them. Help them to take care of themselves. And we thank you for those who are here and those who are not here. Now give me your word today. Anoint me. And bring forth your message today in the name of Yeshua. Empty me of Joe. Bring forth your word for us now. And bind the enemy, Lord. Bind the enemy. Be with those who aren't here today, and help those who are weak. Strengthen the weak ones. Strengthen the feeble ones, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Okay. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Numbers chapter 15. Before I begin this message, Isaac, you tell me when we're on there, okay? Numbers 15. Now, where does it say? Can somebody look up and say Moses did everything according to the pattern? Can somebody look that up for me? Showing him on the mountain. Moses did everything according to the pattern showing him on the mountain. Okay, Numbers 15. So, I want to take care of something I want to take care of time. Are we on there, Isaac? Okay, welcome, fake friends on Facebook. Today's message is called The History of Hebrew Christianity, Messianic Judaism versus False Hebraic Roots, the False Hebraic Roots Church of today. Again, the title of this message is The History of Hebrew Christianity, Messianic Judaism versus the False Hebraic Roots Church of today. And I want to preface this, and we're in Numbers chapter 15. Now, maybe find that scripture about the glory, about Moses following the pattern. Exodus 25:40. Let's just look at Exodus 25:40 for a second. Hold your place in Numbers and look at Exodus 25:40. Okay. And this is repeated in Hebrews and throughout the Bible. It says, see that you make them after the pattern. He's talking about all the things of the tabernacle. See that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown you on the mountain. Okay? And then if you look in Hebrews 8:5, it says, in verse 4, now if he were here on earth, Yeshua, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law. He's talking about the high priest, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. God says, see that you do it, that you build the house according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. And if you read when Moses dedicated the tabernacle, the glory of God fell so strong that they couldn't enter the tabernacle of God. The power of God, the fire of God fell on the tabernacle that they fell on their faces. They could not enter the tabernacle of God. It was so the glory of God filled the house. If you read 2 Chronicles chapter 5 through 7, Solomon built the temple according to the pattern that God gave his father David, and the glory of God fell. And it fell on the house because the temple was built with a right heart, and with according to the pattern that God showed him on the mountain. Brothers and sisters, Peter tells us that you and I are living stones. And Ephesians 2 tells us we are being built into a holy temple of God, a spiritual dwelling place of the Spirit. Together we are being built into a holy temple. Remember that word together in Hebrews chapter 2. Together we are being built into a spiritual dwelling place of God, but not apart. Together we are being built, not apart. That's important. Numbers chapter 15, verse 14. God spoke to Moses and the children of Israel, if an alien, a Gentile, sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns, who dwells with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations, as you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one Torah, one law, and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. You, brothers and sisters, as I give this message, know you are welcome here. All of you watching are welcome here, because if you have a right heart and you come to worship and keep the Sabbath in today's Torah portion, it says, was given to the sons of Israel. It's at the very beginning in Exodus 35 of today's Torah portion. It says, then Moses assembled all the congregation of Israel. The sons of Israel said to them,
These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. God gave the Sabbath to the children of Israel. He did not give it to the Gentiles. He didn't give it to the French. He didn't give it to the Ecuadorians. He didn't give it to the Arabians. He didn't give it to the Edomites. He didn't give it to the Iraqis. He didn't give it to the Persians. He gave it to the Jews. Now, if you're not Jewish, how do you celebrate the Shabbat? Turn to Acts, hold Numbers 15, turn to Acts 15. This is the pattern. There was a dispute because Paul was going out, and there was a group of Pharisaic brothers who were believers, felt that Gentiles who were hearing the gospel and believing in the Lord, that they should be circumcised. And there was an argument, there was a debate, and James had a judgment. He was the leader of the elders' council. In verse 13 of Acts 15, it says, after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simon Peter has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things I will return, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. You see, not everybody who believes in Yeshua, who keeps the Sabbath, who believes in the feasts, is a Jew. There are Gentiles in the world, okay? And many Gentiles believe in the Sabbath. If you read in Acts chapter 2, they showed up. They were called proselytes. There were Pergians and Pamphylians, Cretans and Romans. There were people from Asia Minor and all over in Africa. And proselytes, those were non-Jews who believed in the God of Israel, who were there with Jews on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached to 3,000 of them, and 3,000 were added on that day. There was always a court of the Gentiles in the temple of God. There was always a court of the Gentiles. You can look it up. In the temple of God, Gentiles were always welcome to worship the God of Israel with the Jews in the house of the Jewish God, the God of Israel. Amen? Praise God. All right. So James said here in verse 19, therefore it is my judgment about circumcision that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. We don't make them get circumcised. If they don't, you know, if they want to be, fine. Timothy was. But that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, number one, and from fornication, number two, and from what is strangled, number three, and from blood, number four. Listen, verse 21. For Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. I'll say that again. There's four things Gentiles had to do to fellowship with the Jewish believers. They didn't need to get circumcised. They just needed to abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. And then he says, James says, for Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. What was James saying? James was saying, you Gentiles who want to keep Shabbat and the feasts, go to the synagogue and join with the Jews, and you'll hear the Torah, and you'll read the Torah, and you'll keep Shabbat, and you'll keep the feasts, and you'll follow the pattern of Numbers 15. That whoever sojourns with the Jews, if an alien, verse 14 of Numbers 15, if an alien sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do, the Gentile. As for this assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns among you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one Torah, one law, and one ordinance for you and for the alien, the Gentile, who dwells with you, not apart from you, who dwells together with you. Ephesians 2, together we are being built into a holy temple of God. Together we are built, being built into a dwelling place of the Spirit, not apart. Amen? Together, not apart. So you who are here know that what I'm going to say to you does not apply to you, because if you heard what I just said, you know that you're welcome, that you're part of this. Don't think that I'm speaking anything that's negative towards you. You're following the pattern. Do you understand me? You are following the pattern, okay? And that's important, because the only way the glory is going to fall, I don't care if there's 10 of us, I don't care if there's 12 of us or 20 of us, the only way the glory is going to fall is if we do it according to the pattern of God. Okay, now let me tell you the history of Hebrew Christianity, Messianic Judaism, versus the false Hebraic roots church of today. 125 years ago, a ministry was begun by Jewish Christians called Chosen People Ministries. My Jewish friend Mitch Foreman is the vice president, and he was my mentor, my first mentor, of that thriving ministry today. Back at the turn of the 20th century, but from the 19th century to the 20th century, there was no synagogue for a Jewish believer like this and Jesus to go to. So we had to join the church back then. Some Jews were Baptists, some were Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Methodists, even Catholics. They called themselves Hebrew Christians. That's what they called themselves. They knew they were Jews, they knew they were Christian, but they recognized the ancient calling of their Jewish Messiah and the patriarchs to be what they were, Jews. So though they would attend church on Sunday and celebrate Easter and Christmas, and the early Hebrew Christians began to celebrate Passover, Sabbath, and other Jewish holidays, they would gather for retreats and share their Jewish identity with each other. There were earlier movements in the 1800s, but they were small and they didn't last. There were earlier attempts at it. It didn't work. These groups stuck. They would gather for retreats and share their Jewish identity with each other. Then in 1915, 104 years ago, the Hebrew Christian Alliance of America was founded. Again, these were Jews who believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Jewish Messiah, yet they had no choice but to attend church if they wanted to gather to worship their Savior. At the same time, they had a keen awareness that they were still Jews. They too had retreats, gatherings to celebrate Passover and Sabbaths, perhaps fall feasts, etc. An important part of their mission was to share the gospel with fellow Jews, to tell their Jewish mishpacha, family in Hebrew, that you could believe in Jesus and still be Jewish. Because these Hebrew Christian missions were evangelistic, many churches supported them in their work of sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. The Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Reformed Church, and many others helped them, supported them, financed them to reach the Jewish people with the truth of the gospel. And many other churches. In the 1960s, the leader of the Hebrew Christian Alliance of America, Martin Chernoff, had a vision. In the vision, he saw the words Messianic Judaism in the sky like a skywriter. As I recall, the words were written in the clouds. It was during the late 1960s that Rabbi Chernoff changed the Hebrew Christian Alliance of America, which he was president, to the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. He changed the name of the Hebrew Christian Alliance to the Messianic Jewish Alliance. Now, all of a sudden, and he started planting, the Chernoffs began planting Messianic Jewish congregations, first in Cincinnati, then Atlanta, then Philadelphia, and the revival grew. We are not a denomination. We are the revival of the Jewish people. We are not a denomination. We are not Christians. We are not the church. We are Jews who believe in Jesus. We are the revival of Israel. And you are sojourners dwelling among us, and you therefore have the right to keep Shabbat, to do the things that God gave the Jews. You have every right. There's no distinction. Okay? Now, the Chernoffs began the congregational movement, and that was back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Martin Chernoff, who was at the tip of the spear, Joel Chernoff's father, fought great sickness and spiritual attack. He died at a young age back in the late 1980s, I believe. Churches abandoned the Chernoffs and the Messianic Jewish Alliance because they weren't interested in Jews remaining Jews for Jesus. What they wanted were supporting was converting Jews to Christianity. That's why they gave money. They wanted to convert Jews to become Christians. They didn't understand that there had to be two sheepfolds. John 10 says Jesus is talking to his Jewish brothers. He says, I have sheep from another fold, twofold, another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too, and together you will be one flock with one shepherd. There has to be a Messianic Jewish community, and there has to be a church in order for the two to be one. Amen? In order for the two to be perfected in unity, John 17, we have to be one together. But this is the only time in history when the Messianic Jewish community exists and the church exists and we can come together. What's stopping us is our minds, the devil, and ourselves, our own weakness. Okay. Martin Chernoff died because he was the head of the spear, and it killed him. Churches abandoned the Chernoffs and the Messianic Jewish Alliance because they weren't interested in Jews remaining Jews for Jesus. What they wanted was Jews to convert to Christianity. This caused the Chernoffs to suffer great financial hardships and suffering. I've heard stories of Martin Chernoff on his knees in his living room praying and crying out to the Lord on numerous occasions in the middle of the night. I am a Jew, Joe Bell. I studied with the leading theologian of the conservative Jewish movement of the 20th century, Dr. Rabbi Neil Gilman. I knew Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, arguably the greatest theologian of the Orthodox Judaism in America during the 20th century, who performed my parents' wedding ceremony. I knew him as a boy. I went on to attend his yeshiva called the Maimonides School in Brookline for a couple of years. Later, I did a graduate level thesis on three of Rabbi Soloveitchik's books, The Lonely Man of Faith, The Halachic Man, and The Halachic Mind, in college under the tutelage of my philosophy mentor at the University of Vermont, Orthodox Rabbi Neil Sugarman. By the way, he was Bernie Sanders' best friend. I don't think they agree politically, but they're buddies. They're probably the only two 75-year-old Jews in Burlington, Vermont. Speaking of Jews for Jesus and remaining Jewish, i.e. not calling ourselves Christian, there was another organization known as the American Board of Missions to the Jews, led in the 1950s by a man named Moshe Rosen. The ABMJ, as the American Board of Missions to the Jews was known, the ABMJ was highly evangelistic, dedicated to sharing the gospel with Jewish people. But how? Well, one day, Moshe Rosen, a suit, and Anti Baptist, had an idea. He found an artist and wrote a piece of paper with some art on it and a message, and it had a square, and it had a guy in a suit, and it said, "Message from Squares." This was back in the 60s with the hippies. And he wrote, "Message from Squares," and he left his office in the Upper West Side of Manhattan in a high-rise building. He traveled all the way downtown to the Greenwich Village, to NYU campus. He went and confronted the college students with his new tract called, they called them Broadsides, a mixture of art, humor, and the gospel. It was a hit. Students were fascinated by this middle-aged Jewish Baptist square making fun of himself to tell them about his Savior, Jesus Christ. Within a couple years, Rosen gathered 12 young 20-something disciples who committed to working with him for a year, and he began Jews for Jesus. He began Jews for Jesus. The bottom line is that Hebrew Christianity was, is, and always will be Jewish. Let me say that again. The bottom line is that Hebrew Christianity goes back 125 years or more. It always was, is, and will be Jewish. It was Jewish people who believed in the Jewish Messiah, defining themselves as Hebrew Christians. There are still a few around today. Another of my mentors was Dr. Lewis Goldberg, former professor of Jewish studies at Moody Bible College, who I spent a year in New York City with, studying four courses in graduate level systematic theology. Dr. Goldberg was among the top five greatest Hebrew Christian theologians of the 20th century. God has privileged me to put me in the path of the greatest Jewish thinkers and teachers of our time. My next paragraph is the right of self-determination of the Jewish people. Whose olive tree is it? Romans 11, verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, Gentiles, were grafted in among them, Jews, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches, Jews, were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. We were broken off for our unbelief, but you stand only by faith. Do not be conceited toward the Jews, but fear. Fear. Do not be conceited toward the Jews, but fear. I'm trying to find the verse. I lost my place. Fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell. Thank you. To those who fell. Hallelujah. Severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted into, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches, the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? How much more will we Jews who are cut off be grafted into our, say that, our own olive tree? We have the right to decide if the tree is ours. Doesn't that give us the right to name it? Doesn't that give us the right to decide how it ought to run? Doesn't that give us the right to decide who should be in authority over it? Doesn't that give us the right to decide how to worship and where to worship? Yes, it does. There may be a whole lot more Christians than Jews in the world, and especially more than Messianic Jews or Hebrew Christians. But as I read Romans 11, it says that the non-Jews, the wild branches, are grafted into a Jewish olive tree. Not only that, it says that we Jews who are cut off can be grafted back into our own olive tree. So if the tree that we are grafted into is a Jewish olive tree and it belongs to the church belongs to the Jews, then don't we have the right to call the tree whatever we want? Well, since we're not a pushy people, we let Christians call themselves whatever they want. I.e. Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholic, Evangelical, Brethren, Presbyterian, you name it. But we Jews who wish to stay Jewish reserve the right to call ourselves Messianic Jews. That's how pushy we are. We ask the world to leave us alone and let us be Hebrew Christians and let us be Messianic Jews. And if you want to join us, you're welcome to. And there's one law, one Torah, and you're welcome to celebrate Shabbat, and that's the pattern. You're welcome to celebrate the feasts. That's the pattern that God gave, to come into the house of a Jew and celebrate the biblical feasts. James said it in Acts 15. Moses said it in Numbers 15. And I'm saying it to you. First of all, I must say that the sign and the meeting place for this group is just a few short miles. Okay, first of all, I missed something. The other day, I was driving down a well-traveled road in this area, and I saw a sign pronouncing a Hebraic Christian fellowship. That's like saying the Italian Catholic Church instead of the Roman Catholic Church, or Southern-style Baptists instead of Southern Baptists, or Unity Methodists instead of United Methodists, a Hebraic Christian church. It's phony as a $3 bill. And it's a play on words. It's stealing a name that is part of Jewish history, and the real Hebrew Christians and founders of the Messianic Judaism were the Jews. The real founders of Hebrew Christianity, I don't care if you call it Hebraic or Hebrew, it's the same thing. The real founders are Jews. It's stealing. Stealing is one of the violations of the Ten Commandments. Okay? I don't call myself a United Methodist because I'd be stealing a name that I'm not. I don't call myself a Lutheran because I'd be stealing a title that I'm not. I don't call myself a Southern Baptist because I'd be stealing a name that I'm not. I don't call myself a Church of God pastor because I'd be stealing a title that doesn't belong to me. And God says stealing is a violation of the Ten Commandments. First of all, I must say that the sign and the meeting place for this group is just a few short miles up the road from the more than 100-year-old traditional Jewish synagogue of the Tri-Cities, B'nai Shalom. Being a Jew, I know how outraged they feel. I feel their pain by Christians calling themselves Hebraic, Hebrew, Messianic Jewish, whatever. It irked me as a believer that according to Romans 11 and the job of Christians is to provoke. Go back to Romans 11, please. Romans 11:11. I say then of the Jews, Paul says, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? God forbid. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. What is the role of the Gentiles? Salvation came to the Gentiles, verse 11, to make the Jews jealous. What's the job of the Gentiles? To make the Jews jealous. To provoke, some versions say, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Amen? Okay. Well, the church has provoked the Jews for 2,000 years, but not to jealousy. Did anybody in that group even think to ask if it would offend Jews who have had their synagogue up the road for decades? Did anybody in the Hebraic Christian group care that what the Jewish people felt? Do they actually think they are being a witness to those Jews? I'll tell you the truth, they are pushing them further away from Jesus, not closer. How do I know this? Because I'm a Jew. And I just got back from giving a eulogy for my Jewish mama to 100 lost Jews. I'm appalled at the lack of sensitivity to the Jewish community by these groups of Bristol and surrounding area. In my 20 years of ministry, I have never shoved it in their face. I'm talking about the Jewish community. I've never shoved a sign. I've never shoved my beliefs in their face. If they wanted to come to my business, they could come. They didn't have to come in. I never put up a banner saying that we were, you know, even when we had a restaurant, I didn't put a banner with a name outside. They know I'm here. We're very modest. We have very little signage, and we're far away from them here. I'm fine to have a sign 8 miles, 10 miles away from them. But on the same street, leave us alone. Leave the Jews alone, for God's sake. Yeah, the Jews know I'm here. They know who I am. They know I'm in town. I've never shoved it down their throats by putting a sign up 3 miles up the road. Why are these non-Jews playing Jewish? Why all of a sudden? The leaders are doing it for money and power. In 1 Kings 12, King Jeroboam stole the 10 Jewish tribes. He got them to rebel against Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He broke away the 10 northern tribes. He created false Jerusalems of Dan and Bethel in the northern kingdom. Why did he create false centers of worship in the northern kingdom? So that the people wouldn't travel to Jerusalem to celebrate God's holidays. And if they didn't go to Jerusalem, if you read today's portion,
If you read today's portion all the way through, including the Haftorah, the prophets, First Kings? Second Kings 11, I think. First Kings 11:7. Okay. Well, in 1 Kings 7, it talks about a king who was righteous, and what's his name? Jehoash, son of Jehu, and he was a young boy, and he became king of Judah, and he told the priests, he said, the temple, the house of the Lord, is in disrepair. He said, take all the offerings that come in the box, and rebuild, fix the house of the Lord. And you know, for 25 years, or in the 25th year of his reign, he thought of it again. He looked around. He said, you know, they haven't made the repairs. So he said, take the money from them. Take all the money from them, he said, to the high priests, and give it to the builders, give it to the carpenters, and repair the house of the Lord. And they did it. The priests were stealing the money. And that's what it's all about, money. These groups that started places of worship in Dan and Bethel in Israel, it was for money. These groups that split off from us is for money, it's for power, it's for control. It's because they don't really want to worship God, the true God. They don't really want to follow God's messianic Jewish plan. They don't really want to follow the pattern of God. They want to do it their own way. And the church never had the answer by itself. I'm sorry to say it, folks. You needed the messianic Jews all along, and you still need us today. Why are they playing Jewish? For money, for power, for control. God lays out a pattern. I told you, Hebrews 8:5, for building his house. We are living stones being built into a holy temple of God. But they've caused division. They've divided us when God's trying to build us together. The word says that when Moses did everything according to the pattern, the glory of God fell. Solomon 2, these false Jewish Hebraic churches are not following God's pattern. And they bring no glory down. There is only one way, and God tells Gentiles it's fine to keep Sabbaths and festivals if they do it with Jews under Jewish leadership, because it's our olive tree. In Numbers 15:14, Acts 15, James says, go to the synagogue. Ezekiel 47:21 tells the Jewish inheritors of Israel in the end times, and the prophetic future, he tells the messianic Jews, give the Gentiles who dwelt among you an inheritance in Israel and treat them like natural born Jews. Isaiah 56 says to the foreigner, the Gentile who keeps the Sabbath of the Lord, he says, let not the Lord separate me from his people. Let not the Lord, Jesus, Yeshua, cut me off from his people. Amen? Because he says, let me be a part of the people so that I can do this. And God says to the Gentile who goes to the house of the Lord and keeps his Sabbaths and his feasts, he says, to that person I will give a name better than sons and daughters. Well, there's only, if you look in families, there's only one name better than... Who has a son and a daughter? What does it take to have a son and a daughter? What does it take to have a son and a daughter? Parents. Does it take a man? Does it take a woman? Amen. A mother and a father, right? So what's a better name than a son or a daughter? Father and mother. That's a better name. What God's saying is, I will make you mothers and fathers. I will make you wives. I'll make you my bride. Because he's the father. He's the husband. So he's saying, the name I'm going to give you is bride, and that's a better name than son and daughter. Oh yeah, the sons and daughters will be at the wedding, but only the bride, Queen Esther, will be the one that gets married.
Should Christians keep Sabbath festivals and be part of the Messianic synagogue? I've already answered that question for you at the very beginning. Yeah, come on down. Sojourn. That's all you got to do. Hang out with the Jews. That's God's pattern. It's very simple. You just got to show up. Devil's going to fight you. Devil's going to attack you. And you got to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If God tells you, I'm going to give you a word. If God tells you to keep Shabbat, I've seen this over and over and over again, and you disobey the Lord, get ready for his punishment. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen sickness come on people. I've seen disease. I've seen death. If you disobey God and his high calling, if God calls you and you disobey, I've seen sickness. I've seen death. And I've seen people, and it's not because, it's one thing to make a mistake. Okay? It's another thing to be disobedient on a regular basis. You hear me? Follow me. It's one thing to make a mistake. It's another thing to be disobedient day after day. And to confess to a rabbi, yeah, rabbi, God's called me to keep the Sabbath, and then not show up for 5 months, 4 months, or 3 months. Don't BS. The Bible says God is not mocked. And I'm telling you one thing. If you don't follow God and you don't obey him, your chances are not unlimited. One day, he will take you out, and you will not have the chance. What you have right here is a blessing. This is a blessing for you to do this. To be a sojourner is a blessing. He says, I'll give you a name better than sons and daughters. He doesn't. Not everybody gets the blessing that you get. Let's go on. What does he call the in Romans, in Revelation chapter 3? Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. What does he call? See, back then, they couldn't comprehend. Jews were being persecuted back when the Bible was written and the New Testament was being written. The Jews were being persecuted. What church, would want to pretend to be Jewish? But today, there's millions, thousands of churches that pretend to be Jewish. And back then, they couldn't understand this concept, so they thought that all the Jewish synagogue was the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan. Theologians of Christianity have interpreted that as the synagogue of the Jews, as the synagogue of Satan, because they didn't believe in Jesus. That's not what it is. I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. If you're a Hebraic Christian, if you're a Ephraimite, if you are think you're an Israelite, but you have no proof that you are of the synagogue of Satan. And this is the punishment that awaits you. You're going to have to answer to a not so happy God who calls you the synagogue of Satan. You who say you are Jews but are not. Get ready, because your day is coming. Oh, I have words for you, and I've kept my mouth shut for years. Those of you I've kept my mouth shut from the prophetic words God's given me for you. I haven't said them to you because I didn't want to stir things up. And I'm not going to say it now. But they're not good words that God's given me. And I've kept quiet. Conclusion. False Israelite groups, false Hebraic Christian groups, Ephraimite, phony Messianic groups, groups that call themselves Messianic but aren't Jewish. They're not helping God's true plan. They're just causing division in the body. Remember, we're supposed to be built together into a temple of God, of Ephesians 2. We're supposed to be built together into a dwelling place of the Spirit. These groups are supporting what they think in their own minds, based on their greed, based on their desire for power, and what they think in their own minds create what they think pleases God, but they're confusing the true Messianic Jewish message to the world, like Balaam of old, who turned against God and led the children of Israel astray. You should be asking leaders of these groups, if you attend there, where were you raised Jewish? Number one. Number two, who sent you out? Who ordained you and how? If it was not the IAMCS.org, the IAMCS.org, or the UMJC, Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, or Tikkun Ministries, or Chosen People Ministries, or Jews for Jesus, or some group that's accepted by these organizations, then you're a fraud. If you're not ordained by one of these groups that I've mentioned, or one of the or an organization that's connected to them, you're a fraud. You're a phony. You're like Jeroboam in the Northern Kingdom, and all you're creating is your synagogues are causing division. You're a Dan in Bethel. You're worshiping golden calves and idols. And God's not called you to celebrate Sabbaths and festivals of the Jews. He's called you to do it together with the Jews, like these good people. And you lead sheep astray, you shepherds. Jesus said, hypocrites, Pharisees, and scribes, sons of serpents, hypocrites, Pharisees, and scribes. I say to you leaders who lead sheep astray and lead them into thinking that they're into the right thing and the true thing, when you've led them into false worship, you will be judged severely for that. And I call down that judgment upon you. And God will deal with the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews but are not. Beware of your folly, or the same fate that befalls them will befall you. Beware of their folly, or the same folly that befalls them, the same punishment will befall you. Watch out. If the group isn't run by a Jew, if it isn't ordained by an authentic Messianic Jewish... I mean, if I was pretending to be a United Methodist, ask me, well, where did you go to seminary? Asbury? What's another Methodist seminary? There's another one. You know, where did you go to seminary? Where did you get ordained? Who sent you out? What district are you in? Who's your bishop? Check me out. If I say I'm a Southern Baptist, find out who my connections are. Am I a part of the Sullivan County Baptist Association? You see what I'm saying? You know, am I known amongst the people? Am I trained? Have I been ordained? Find out. Don't be a dumb sheep. Ask questions. Praise the Lord. So it breaks my heart to see Christians playing Jews up the street from a Jewish synagogue when we're trying to win the souls of Jewish people in this community. Instead, we're shoving Christianity and calling it Jewish Christianity, Hebraic Christianity, in their faces, when the real Hebrew Christians were Jews from 125 years ago and beyond. My teacher, Louis Goldberg, was a Hebrew Christian. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, who's alive today, is one of the great theologians of Hebrew Christianity. He wrote a book called Hebrew Christianity. Look it up on Amazon. It was written by a Jew, Arnold Fruchtenbaum. Look up the book, Hebrew Christianity. It's a great book. Learn about Hebrew Christianity. The Chernoffs, who founded Messianic Judaism, they were Hebrew Christians when they started out. David Brickner, the head of Jews for Jesus, His ancestors are in a picture, 1915. I saw it in the wall of the Messianic Jewish Alliance, which was the Hebrew Christian Alliance of America. His ancestors were a picture, was in that picture of the group having its meeting in 1915, their first meeting. David Brickner, my former boss at Jews for Jesus. Hebrew Christians are Jews. And if they're not Jews, the leaders I'm talking about, not the leaders are Jews. And if they're not Jews, you should seriously question who they are. And Hebraic Christianity, it's bogus. God's not interested in prayer shawls. God's not interested in shofars. God's not interested in Sabbaths and festivals. Yes, God honors them when we do it according to the pattern. What God's more interested in than these things is our relationship. He's interested in the relationship of Jew and Gentile. And I'll close with Ephesians chapter 2. Yes, this is a tough message, Because God is getting serious. The time is growing short. So, verse 11 of Ephesians 2, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, not one group, but into unity, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the Torah of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile. This is the pattern, that the two become one, or in unity. In unity, like a husband and wife, and reconcile them both in the body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. For through him, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, who were Jews, I might add, and prophets, who were Jews, Christ Jesus, who was Jewish, himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple. Notice it says, the whole building being fitted together, not apart. A holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit, not apart. These groups are dividing. They're causing division. They're making a mockery and confusing people of what God's trying to do. They're making confusing the sheep. They're confusing the Jewish people. They don't care about the Jewish people. The fact that they put their silly groups up the street from the, call a Hebraic Christian group up the street from the local synagogue, is an abomination to the Jews and to their God. It's a disgrace, and it's sickening to me as a Jew. And I say to you, stop what you're doing. Repent, or Revelation 3 and Revelation 2 will come upon you. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how he shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarech. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom and Amen.